All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. Later in today's episode, we'll be joined by Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports Edge. He's going to provide his insight into why Drake London was the top wide receiver in this year's draft. We'll be sort of revisiting my thoughts on Drake London earlier this week in my scouting report and whether I was too low on him. But we'll start off by talking about and reacting to Arthur Smith saying this team is definitely not tanking. And I have some questions about that, and we'll get into that on today's Locked On Falcons.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And of course, we thank everyone that makes Locked On Falcons their first listen each and every day. Of course, like all Locked On Sports Atlanta podcasts, you can find Locked On Falcons free and available on a variety of podcast platforms Monday through Friday, whether it's Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify. And of course, you can also find us on YouTube. That if you subscribe to Locked On Falcons, you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. So today's episode, we'll be talking a little bit more about Drake London. Got some feedback from folks that said I was too low on Drake London. We'll kind of revisit that and recontextualize some things. We'll be joined later in the episode to talk a little bit more about Drake London and Thor Nystrom of NBC Sports Edge, who had Drake London as his top wide receiver and sort of why he thought highly of him. But we'll start out today's episode talking about Arthur Smith's interview with Jeff Schultz at The Athletic and the idea that the Falcons aren't tanking. And it's funny because on Tuesday, I kind of tweeted semi-tongue-in-cheek. You know, my tweet read that until the Falcons add a legit defensive lineman, the conspiracy part of my brain will continue to believe that they're secretly tanking this year. And then, of course, Wednesday morning, Jeff Schultz publishes the interview he had with Arthur Smith saying that the team is not tanking. And so I feel like my timing, of course, is impeccable. And of course, Arthur Smith was reacting to what I tweeted. I'm so egotistical to believe that. But even though I was being somewhat sarcastic with that tweet, there is a kernel of truth to that, because I do feel like the Falcons did not really address their run defense effectively this offseason. And I'm kind of hoping that they do wind up doing that. Maybe Ryan Pace can, you know, give Akeem Hicks or Eddie Goldman a call between now and the start of the season. Maybe the Falcons can pursue someone like a Larry Ogunjobi or any number of players that I think can beef up that area, particularly if the goal is to be competitive this year. Because I hear what Arthur Smith says, and I get it. You know, I don't have any problem with him saying the team is not tanking. I said many of the same things that he said in that interview to other Falcon fans in the past, that, you know, insisted the team should tank and it's a worthwhile strategy. And, you know, it's not really, you can certainly make the case as a worthwhile strategy, but it's not really a realistic strategy in the NFL like it is in, say, the NBA, where it truly is a worthwhile strategy. But you've also heard me say this offseason that this is probably the one year where I think you can make a decent case. It is actually advantageous for the Falcons to tank this year, because for me, the one spot on your team where draft position really does matter, where it's meaningful, is at the quarterback position. And until the Falcons have their long-term Matt Ryan replacement, you know, it does make sense for them to potentially maximize their chances of getting the best possible quarterback in next year's draft if they can. Now, obviously, whether or not they want to do that will kind of heavily depend on how Desmond Ridder performs this year. And that's going to be one of the key things that we're going to be focused on. And you will hear me continue to talk about quite a bit over the summer. And again, apologize for all you people that are very much in the Marcus Mariota's going to be great for us this year. But to me, it's just basically it's a ticking clock on Marcus Mariota. I just think, like, you know, whether he starts 6 games, 8 games, 12 games, 15 games, whatever the case may be, you know, I just think eventually the Falcons are going to have to move on from that. And we'll see about that. But, you know, I don't have a problem with this idea of the Falcons not trying to tank or whatever the case may be. But I just kind of look at it and I'm like, you know, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. Like, you can say, like, we're really trying hard to be competitive, but we're also kind of tanking. Because you can, this season to me sets up perfectly for you to basically throw Marcus Mariota to the Wolves for the first like 7 games of the season, and watch those Wolves tear him apart, tear apart his carcass, and get, you know, full, get the itis on eating Marcus Mariota's carcass. And then that 6-game span from like weeks 8 to 13, where you have a soft part of your schedule, you can kind of throw Desmond Ridder out there. And then because the Wolves are kind of on full bellies, they're not going to be as willing to go after him. And then that you can use that 6-game sample, particularly where I expect the Falcons to be a lot more competitive, to, you know, build towards the future and say, hey, yeah, we're doing good things. And look, Desmond Ridder was halfway decent. And then you ultimately get that top 5 pick, you know, that 4th overall selection. You take Jalen Carter out of Georgia or whatever the case may be. And you can sit there and feel good about yourself that you weren't tanking, but at the same time, you were kind of like, we're not going to really put our best foot forward, because I just don't think the Falcons can truly do that if they're not significantly better in the trenches. And I don't think they've made significant improvements in the trenches. I think they got better at edge rusher. I think their depth is probably better on the offensive line, but I don't think that's going to really move the needle against the opponents that the Falcons are facing. Because part of my disagreement with fans and media is like, you know, and Jeff kind of mentioned this in his article talking about how good the coaching was because the Falcons were able to win 7 games with a bad roster. And I look at, you know, this year's roster and I think it's going to be bad, but like maybe not as bad, but still probably bad. And I think when you look at the Falcons wins and losses last year, to me, there is a direct correlation, a direct correspondence, basically 1-to-1. It's 1 to 0.99. Right. When it comes to how competitive the Falcons looked versus who the opposing team's quarterback was. And the Falcons won and looked very competitive when they faced Trevor Siemian and Tim Boyle and Zach Wilson, et cetera. And when you look at this year's schedule, you don't see that many quarterbacks like that. Now, that week 8 to 13 stretch, you're going to see that's going to be the part of the season where you get some of the weaker quarterbacks, Justin Fields, Mitchell Trubisky, Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, or whoever it winds up being, Matt Corral in Carolina or whatever the case may be. And so that's going to be the opportunity for you to basically repeat what you did a year ago. And we'll sit here and we'll say, hey man, we're doing good things. And that's kind of the point I'm trying to make, where you can have your cake and eat it too. Like, we're not tanking, but at the same time, like, we're not really trying to do our best. Because if you were trying to do your best, like, I think you would have tried to address the trenches a little bit more to deal with the pitfalls that you're going to fall into this year. So, you know, Arthur Smith can say, yeah, we're not tanking, wink. And I'm going to sit here and go like, yeah, Arthur, I know what you're saying, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, you're not tanking. So, you know, look, I'm sure this is going to cause a firestorm in the comments or whatever the case may be. Like, you know, whether we're tanking or not, it doesn't really matter. But I kind of sit here, you know, and whether you call this negativity or whatever the case may be, when fans sit here and insist to me, like, you know, to me, the season is the fantasy that fans have created over the last several weeks and months is that, like, this team is going to be much more competitive than they were last year. And I'm just like, look, Marcus Mariota is not going to allow you to go out and beat the Matt Staffords and the Joe Burrows and the Tom Brady's. Like, you're not going to go toe to toe with those teams for 4 quarters, unlike last year. Maybe you're more competitive, like, against those teams you were competitive for 1 quarter last year. The goal is to be more competitive against those teams for like 2 quarters this year. But you're going to stink for the, you know, the first half of the season. Then you're going to have that 6-game stretch where Desmond Ridder cooks. Then you're probably going to be bad when you face better teams in that last 4-game stretch of the season. And like, that's kind of how the season is going to go. And so, like, my beef and my conflict with fans is like when they sit here and try to pretend otherwise, like, I'm fine with that, guys. Let me make it clear. Like, I'm fine if that's how the season is going to go. And we can talk about optimism and hopes and dreams and all these various things in 2023 and beyond when we have that fourth, when we have Jalen Carter, when we have a promising young Desmond Ridder, and we have $75 million in cap space to spend to plug up some of these trench problems and these holes elsewhere on the roster. I'm all well and good, but don't sit here and try to sit at me and tell me this team is going to be good in 2022. I'm sitting here going like, come on, really? That, like, you're really convinced that that's going to be the case? Like, come on, man. So if that comes off as too negative, I apologize. And if I came off as too negative in my Drake London scouting report, as we're going to talk about coming up, I apologize for that. You know, some people said I was too low on him. We'll revisit that. And whether or not I was too low on him, maybe I can recontextualize some of the things I was saying to defend my assessment of Drake London as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, guys, let me tell you about the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast feed, where you get three different shows, A to Z with Mark Zeno, Hitting Hard with John Chuckery, and ATL Day Ones with Jarvis Davis and Tanitra Batiste. Four different perspectives, four different personalities, three different shows on all things Atlanta, all things Georgia, all things national headline-making stuff. So check out and subscribe to Locked On Sports Atlanta on your preferred podcast feed, whether that's Apple, Odyssey, Google, Spotify, or on YouTube. And guys, I also want to tell you about Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar, but it's even better than a candy bar because Built Bars not only taste good, they're good for you. They're low in sugar, calories and carbs, high in protein and fiber. And all summer long, they're giving you some great flavors like birthday cake puff, brownie batter puff, banana cream pie puff. And the puff flavors are the first protein infused marshmallows and the birthday cake puff. I'm a big fan of. They sent me a free sample. I ordered myself a new box. It's white chocolate. It sprinkles. It's a birthday treat every single day, but it's good for you. So whether you want to try them or order yourself a mixed box or whatever the case may be, head on over to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 when you do, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15 at built.com. So, guys, tomorrow we will be breaking down Arnold Ebiketie, my scouting report of him. I'm a big fan of him as a prospect. We're 24 hours from me recording that episode, so I don't know exactly where I'm going to fall on him with some of the comps and whatnot. So I'll let that marinate over the next 24 hours. But it's prompted me to kind of revisit my Drake London scouting report, because a lot of the feedback, particularly on YouTube, that I got, that I was too low or too negative when it came to Drake London. I was a little baffled by that because I felt like I gave a fair and balanced, pros and cons of Drake London's game, and ultimately was generally favorable of him. But maybe there was a couple of things that I said that maybe people took out of context, or I just didn't do a good enough job of explaining why I do like Drake London as a prospect, but I don't necessarily see him as a perfect prospect, And so the idea that I was too low on a guy that I compared to Michael Thomas, who some people thought 2 years ago was the best wide receiver in the league, and most people generally agree is one of the top 5 to 10 wide receivers in the league, didn't make a ton of sense. But maybe people, some people maybe questioned my floor comp for him. And I said Brian Quick, and really settled on Mohamed Sanu. And part of the reason why I moved off of Brian Quick, even though I think as prospects, him and Brian Quick are closer than him and Mohamed Sanu. But I think as the NFL player, I think Drake London is going to be, I think he's going to be closer to Mohamed Sanu. And I talked about, him catching probably like 60 plus catches, 700 plus yards, like Sanu did pretty consistently throughout his career, especially in his time here in Atlanta. And that's kind of what I expect Drake London to be day one when he comes in the NFL. And maybe I didn't do a good enough job of contextualizing this, but like, that's not a low expectation, guys, because when you understand that stat line, when you go back over the last 10, 12 years of like 500 plus wide receivers that have come into the league and played as rookies, only I think like less than 25 of those guys have had 60 plus catches and 750 plus yards as rookies. And that's kind of what I expect at a minimum that Drake London's going to do. I actually think he'll probably do much better than that, because my expectation, at least sitting here today, is he'll probably wind up with something closer to like 120 targets than necessarily the 80, 90 targets that Sanu was getting on a regular basis. So he'll probably wind up putting up more production than 60 plus catches and 700 plus yards based off of how often he'll get utilized in the offense. But that's, that Sanu level production is like 95th percentile, is the point I'm trying to make. And so the idea that I'm, by comparing him to Sanu and saying that that's like kind of the minimum he'll be coming into the league, I think some people perceive that as me being low, and, I needed maybe do a better job contextualizing that to show you that that's not me being low on him. Now, I think maybe another thing that people glommed onto that they didn't love was me basically saying that I didn't think he was necessarily worth a top 10 pick. And that's just a philosophical point of mine, that I think if you're going to be a top 10 pick, I think you need to be, at least a wide receiver, you need to be all world. And that was something that I talked about pre-draft, where I'm not sure very many of the players taken at the top of this year's draft would have been top 10 picks in previous year's draft. I look at Drake London specifically, and he profiles very similarly to his old teammate at USC and Michael Pittman, who was the 34th overall in that 2020 draft class. And so when I look at Drake London, I project him and I evaluate him as a late first round sort of talent. And in that regard, and like, maybe some people, that when I say those things, maybe it rubs people somewhat the wrong way, but ultimately, where I value Drake London as a prospect, you know, there's the prospect and there's the player. The prospect is, you know, which boxes do you check as a college player to lead you to get drafted at a certain point. But ultimately, once you get drafted, it's about how the player you are. And the thing I've learned over 20 years of evaluating college players and have learned with an endless number of misses over that 20-year period is that, you know, your success in the league is not just solely dependent on how good a prospect you were. It's about, you know, if you go to the right team, the right scheme, and all these various things, right? And like, I think now that's really the conversation. And that was kind of, I think, what I was trying to express with talking about Drake London, where I think like if you utilize him in a certain way, similar to Michael Thomas, Pittman is another good example that I could have raised on the episode and how the Colts utilize him as more of a possession guy. I think he's has the chance to reach his full potential in the league. But, you know, maybe other people disagree and maybe I didn't do a good enough job of explaining that. And we'll see if Thor Nystrom does a better job of explaining that as he joins the show as we wrap up today's episode. Well, he'll give his thoughts on why Drake London is wide receiver one on his draft board and why he thought, you know, was well worth the Falcons pick at that point in time. And we'll continue today's episode talking with Thor about what his thoughts are on Drake London. But before we get there, guys, you know, I want to tell you about betonline.net, the number one source for all your sports betting needs and info. Whether you're looking for podcasts or the latest odds, contests, or player props, BetOnline has it all. And whether you want to bet on baseball, NBA playoffs, boxing, UFC, golf, NHL playoffs, esports, your favorite Vegas casino games, the USFL, NFL win totals, NFL MVPs, Marcus Mariota being the comeback player of the year, whatever you want, BetOnline has it all. So head on over to betonline.net to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are locked on Falcons, and I am joined by another illustrious guest. This is Thor Nystrom, the senior content creator for NBC Sports Edge, and he's going to be here with us talking about some of the Falcons' draft picks, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, sharing his thoughts on Drake London, Desmond Ridder, and Tyler Algier, and what they bring to the table for the Atlanta Falcons this year and in the future. Thor, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So let's talk a little bit about Drake London, who was the top wide receiver, I believe, that you had in your wide receiver rankings. Is that true?
He sure was. Yep.
And what was it exactly that you saw in him that made him wide receiver one?
He can do whatever you dang need him to. You know, I like when during the draft class or during the draft process, a lot of the stuff you would talk about him with, it's the ball skills and the contested stuff. And he certainly has that in spades. You know, like it's essentially impossible for, well, it was impossible for collegiate corners one-on-one downfield against him. You have to keep a safety back on the other side of Drake London's going deep because he's so good at that. He's, you know, he's 6'4 or whatever, but he's got the, his wingspan's over 6'6, you know, it's like 6'7. So, I mean, like he gets up and get off the ground too. But the other, like the other stuff, I feel like people weren't talking as much about his game because that part of his game is so special. You know, it might be the best guy in the past 5 years, you know, in terms of that. But like the other stuff he's really good at too, you know, for instance, the short game, the screen game, you can have the quarterback just turn to his left, flick it to him, have a couple, you know, guys out in front of him blocking. I think he had 2.5 catches per game last year that were, you know, glorified screens or whatever, where then he would get you the yak yardage because he is really difficult to tackle, you know, after the catch as well. So you can get him doing the short stuff. You certainly have the long game utility, and that's going to be super fun to watch next to Kyle Pitts. Because, I mean, in terms of tight ends, Kyle Pitts is the best I've ever seen downfield, you know, with that, at least coming out, you know, in college, whatever. So those guys are going to be really fun. And I think the fit is really good. And I like what the Falcons were doing there.
Now, when you talk about the fit, do you sort of envision Drake London being that sort of big time X wide receiver that we've seen Arthur Smith's offense utilize with A.J. Brown in the past in Tennessee? And obviously the Falcons having a similar Kyle Shanahan derived offense with Julio Jones. Do you think Drake London can kind of live up to the billing and be that type of playmaker in this Falcons offense moving forward?
I do. Yeah. And the other thing is, yes, he can do that. But the other thing he provides you with, and this probably wasn't discussed as much as well, that you can move him around. He is extremely versatile. You can play him in the slot if you like. You can certainly play him on either side, out wide. Kyle Pitts, of course, he's versatile too. So I like just having those two guys, it's going to be an absolute headache for defense every single play, because they're going to come out, you know, okay, Kyle's over there, London's over there. I mean, you're going to see a whole lot of pointing trying to figure out where those guys are, because both of them, you need deep help. Like Kyle Pitts, you're not going to have one guy, you know, where he's going to be able to defend the deep balls against him. And it's the same thing with London. So, yeah, I do expect him to mostly be, you know, that X receiver. But you can move him around, and I expect to see a lot of that too.
So, guys, that's going to do it for us here on today's Locked On Falcons. And we want to thank Thor for coming on and sharing his insights with Drake London. And, you know, I think where Thor and I's opinion kind of overlaps is we didn't obviously go deep into this, but like that idea of Drake London being versatile and being used inside out. And I think ultimately, you know, and I'm sure this is also going to create a firestorm in the comments. Ultimately, I think where Drake London succeeds, and my number one question with this coaching staff is, are they good enough at maximizing talent? And I know that's a polarizing, inflammatory take, because I've seen so many people over the last couple of weeks insist that this coaching staff is great at maximizing talent, because look what they did with Kyle Pitts. Look what they did in Cordero Patterson. Now, I spent time explaining why I don't think that opinion is as good taken at face value. I'm not going to spend the rest of today's episode breaking that down. So I apologize. I'm sure people will, we can get into that later this summer. But we'll just sort of see if this, you know, I think ultimately my concern with Drake London is what I'm getting at is if Arthur Smith is basically be AJ Brown again, as Thor intimated, I think he can do that stuff, but I don't know if that's going to be the way that he's going to be maximized in the league. And so I'm curious to see how Arthur Smith, you know, kind of adapts things. Now, maybe I wind up being wrong and Drake London just basically is the embodiment of AJ Brown, you know, 2.0, who's the embodiment of Julio 2.0 or whatever the case may be, if you want to go there. So we'll see, but, that will do it for us here, guys. We'll have more from Thor in the coming days and weeks when we get into Desmond Ridder and Tyler Allgeier, because he has some thoughts on those guys moving forward. And we'll revisit Thor's conversation that I had with him on those future episodes. But if you want to provide your feedback and tell me why I'm wrong, why I'm too negative, why this team is not tanking, all these various things, by all means, you can do so on Twitter or Facebook at Lockdown Falcons. You can send an email to lockedonfalcons@mail.com, or you can leave a comment here on the Locked On Falcons YouTube channel. So guys, thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen. Always have recommendations for your second listen. Why not check out the Locked On NFL podcast? Find out, you know, the latest about some of the big contracts given out. James Bradbury's going places. Jair Alexander's getting paid. You know, who's next, and what's left for NFL teams around the league, you know, this summer. Find it all on Locked On NFL, free and available on all the same podcast platforms you can find Locked On Falcons. Guys, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate it. Till then.